Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
What a good morning this is. My name is Dave, and I'm on the pastoral team here, and I'm happy to share with you today. We've had some good announcements, and there is another announcement related to some community news that is important to this Sunday. An announcement that involves recognition and celebration, but also involves transition of one of our team members. And of course, resignations of one of our team members is always that which is filled with so much mixed emotion. And it was just recently that Nick McAllister has made us aware that he has accepted a full-time position as an associate pastor at Delta Pentecostal Church. That is awesome. We are thrilled for that. Sorry, Duncan Pentecostal, not Delta. He's moving to Vancouver Island. I used to live there. I know exactly where he's moving. I would imagine, as you would hear that today, that comes to most of you with an element of surprise. But I do want to say how excited we are for Nick and Rachel, for me to personally work closely with Nick, who is at the back here today. And has led us this morning. To work closely with Nick for 18 months has been just wonderful. I'm proud and very encouraged by Nick and Rachel's prayerful process, and we are trusting God with them for a wonderful next season in their lives and ministry, and we're certain it's going to be because they're just awesome people. Nick is deeply rooted here, certainly for those of you who are newer, I think of anyone in this room, probably Nick is most rooted of all. Committed, spirit-filled, spirit-led, godly leaders, capable musician. Nick has spent last 14 years here when joining his parents, when they were a little bit more involved at Living Waters. So Nick has grown up in the youth network and leading worship, I think initially with a guitar that wasn't plugged in, or maybe that was your brother. then joining the team 2 years ago, and of course for the last 18 months to be working closely. To be honest, it's hard to imagine life at Living Waters without Nick, honestly. And Rachel, for sure, when they were married a few years ago, Rachel onboarded so quickly, involved in life group, and she's a great worship leader, and we all know that so much. But we do agree with them as they processed with us the leading of God within their lives. And certainly to join Duncan Pentecostal, Peter Lewis, great people, great church. We're excited for the increased role and capacity that they'll be serving in. And I'm confident, very confident, our team is confident that as God orchestrates transition in their lives, that would allow us to find new leadership for this good music network that we have here, who leads so well week in and week out, both in our Fort Langley location, but some of you are not aware of our Willoughby location, which is a whole other story, exciting story, that our music network provides leadership for. So Nick is not speaking today. He's actually going to be preaching next Sunday here in Fort Langley. So he's going to be beginning our summer simple series. Is it simple summer series? Whatever that is, it's going to be good. And we'll be updating you as we begin to consider all that God has next for us. So there's a good announcement and blessings on you, Nick. We're in your corner. Yeah, let's show our appreciation to him. Yeah. So let's continue today in our Luke series. This will be our final. We've got to Luke chapter 6, and we're going to be breaking for the summer and then continuing in September again. But we find ourselves this morning in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 19, and how very appropriate we would land here as we consider a summer that would be in front of us. Let me read our text today. One day, soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names: Simon, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, Simon, Judas Iscariot. Verse 17, when they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus in a large level area surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north, as the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and be healed of their disease. And those troubled by evil spirits were healed. And everyone tried to touch him because healing power went out from him and he healed everyone. Luke chapter 6. A few years ago, our family celebrated some family milestones in Maui. And one of the highlights, I'm sure some of you have been to Maui, one of our highlights was the mountain, Mount Halakila, is that how you say it? Haleakala. Sounds better. Staring at that all morning going, I'm going to get it wrong. Seriously, I did that. I'm a really boring person. I do that. I was reading of that. Over 3,000 meters, and that's true. To watch the sunrise, so to get up in the middle of the night and to drive the hour and a half that we did to get to the park and to get up that windy road in pitch black to be joined by people on the, oh, you can't even see it, on the left. To watch the sun from the vantage point of being on top of a mountain, but more importantly, to be above the clouds. It's fascinating. And then to see, of course, the sun rise just shortly after 5:20 a.m. Was spectacular. It's nice to know the maker of all that, isn't it? The creator of that. Just like, wow. And then to drive down the mountain early morning at 9 a.m. and hunt for a breakfast spot. But our text this morning takes us in the middle of the night up a mountain, and then in the morning back down a mountain. And it's Jesus that is making the journey. As we imagine our text, it seems at a very, it was always busy for Jesus, but at this busy time, he had slipped away to find some kind of a quiet place. And you do that too. You find those quiet places. There was certainly a lot going on these days. Crowds continued to grow. And there was certainly no shortage of conversation as people were trying to figure Jesus out because he was relatively new on the public scene. And one of the biggest challenges on the religious front, and at the risk of sounding like CNN, the religious center was shifting. For hundreds and hundreds of years, the religious center, and we've been kind of saying this in passing the last few weeks, for hundreds of years, the religious center was that which happened at the temple. In the Old Testament, it was a tabernacle, and if you wanted to catch up to what God was doing, you had to get there, to that address. But as God was meeting with people, it was very apparent that the center of now the religious activity of the day was where Jesus was. And that's a big change. And Jesus' opponents, the Pharisees, were the watchdogs for this, the royal opposition, vigilant, rallying to keep the religious system in order and centered around the coming and going from the temple as those would be directed by the law. And the tension continued to grow, and it was very evident. And at the risk of us continuing to hit that narrative hard here, it's true. And we need to understand the way that the larger scene that Jesus was navigating amongst. As we consider this narrative, we see on one of those days, and certainly this expression is one that we use, but depending on the inflection in those brief words, it could mean different things. But what we have seen in weeks leading up to this passage, the Jew and the Pharisees were followers and protectors of the law, which placed different levels of value on certain days. Certainly for the Jews and for the Pharisees, The Sabbath was important, that one day of the week. And as they were watchdogs to the religious calendar, it would present in front of others various days that had all different levels of importance. And a whole religious system had been in place that marked certain days as set apart, requiring special acknowledgement and practice. But what we see in Jesus' life and teaching is a fulfillment of those laws and those practices, and teaching and modeling that every day matters. Every day matters. Every day being received as a gift from God. Days not becoming special because they're tagged as religious days or filled with religious ceremony. Jesus was Lord of every day, not just the Sabbath. He was Lord of every day. And because of his lordship over every day, he is casting vision and creating expectation that every day has the potential to be special and sacred. Monday to Saturdays are the Lord's days, as is the role of a Sabbath even in our lives today. So on one of those days, Jesus climbed a mountain to find a place to pray. Now, to the Old Testament watchdog, this practice would be something that would take the Old Testament scholar, if you would, or Exodus chapter 9, Moses climbing the mountain to meet with God, Mount Sinai, to meet with God, and then to make their way down with a revelation or the script for the next season. Rather, perhaps what we see in Jesus here is more about Jesus seeking out a meeting place with his heavenly Father. And I think what we often would do good in is looking to Jesus for a good example. And here's a good example of somebody in the midst of his ordinary certain day finding a way to have a meeting place with his heavenly Father. And what we see here is this theme of Jesus' continued reliance on God through prayer. It's a huge and significant Lucan theme of Jesus finding time to talk to his heavenly Father. Prayer being the first thing Jesus does and not the last thing Jesus does. And this is a theme that we should pay attention to. And so here we find Jesus praying all night. And I wouldn't suggest that the accolade should be enduring the wee hours of prayer, as good as that is, but more about meeting with his heavenly Father until the meeting was done. Praying to our heavenly Father until the meeting is done. And sometimes, as we see in Luke chapter 6, it takes us to all different times of the day. Praying with our Heavenly Father until the meeting is done. Perhaps it could be understood in a few ways, in a very personal way. You have coffee with a close friend, and you spend unhurried time with someone, and the coffee date is over when? When the conversation is over, right? Conversation moves where it needs to move, because you're having unhurried time. You finish the conversation, as I said, when you're done listening and there's no more to say. Perhaps this is what Jesus had found that day in that quiet place. It wasn't about, I'm praying till morning. Rather, I'm having a conversation with my Heavenly Father until the conversation is done. Perhaps this could also be understood in a very practical way. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25 says, "He is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for us." So here we have the idea of Jesus, unhurried time, to engage the dialogue with his heavenly Father. And we would also see Jesus attuning to his high priest responsibility to intercede for loved ones. And he still does that. Jesus His primary, one of his primary roles is the fulfillment of the Old Testament law, which included the role and responsibility of the high priest. I'm not a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. And while we pray for others and each other from time to time, Hebrews says that our high priest is forever interceding for us. And my curiosity today is I wonder what Jesus is interceding for us about today. Think about it. He's interceding for you today, right now. Wow. And I wonder what the list is that keeps him down. You look at me and go, I know what he's praying for. But how interesting that we see here highlighted in Luke chapter 6, the conversational piece of prayer that we need to find, and also the intercession place that we need to find. For it says that Jesus climbed a mountain to find a place of prayer, and we need to as well. We need to as well. Meeting with this great God that we know in song, we know as we serve, and we know through quality time in his presence. This person who's not like us, a term that I'm beginning to become familiar and so much is read or written about, the God who is the holy other. Acknowledging the differences between God and everything else, different from all other things that exist. And having conversation with the holy other until the conversation is over. And as we become familiar with what he is interceding for us about, certainly takes us to significant places of spiritual formation as we go deeper in our conversations and relationship with God. Perhaps Jesus' example creates an opportunity for you and I to consider the priority of prayer in our lives, in your life, as we, again, consider prayer in the context of meeting with the holy other. I know some of you are having those experiences because I hear about them. And they're wonderful, and they're beautiful. And we wish that for all of us, finding that beautiful place in his presence. When morning came, it says, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them. Again, many would have been familiar with Exodus 19. Moses climbed the mountain, and he came down the mountain, and everybody eagerly was waiting for what Moses would say. There's a type of this going on here, but as he came down the mountain, it says Jesus called his disciples to him. And again, that's very, very significant, because in the past, it would be, I'll meet you at the temple at this fixed address, because that is the center of the activity of the religious system. And here Jesus says, well, no, this is the new way forward, is for people to find their way to me. So here Jesus called his disciples to him. And that's so significant. Do you feel that call upon your life? That's certainly what Christianity is. It's about a call, not to simple Sunday morning gatherings, as important as they are, but it's a calling to a person, to a holy other, and to respond to that call. How beautiful that is. For Jesus is this new temple, calling people to himself, calling people to come and worship. Come and bring your stuff. Come as you are. Take your place in my presence. So as people came around him, it says Jesus chose 12. And it's not that he was just choosing 12 and not choosing others. Rather, Luke identifies some specific people that were being called at a certain time for certain reasons. There were specific needs of that hour. And so while in the midst of calling all, he called a few to specific roles. And that certainly is the way that God still works today. We all find our place of significance and all sorting out our different roles. That's why we so often place in front of our community these just as a means of conversation, but a volunteer card. How are you showing up with your talents and your gifts? Because there's a call upon your life, and we want to recognize and release you in that calling. How beautiful. How beautiful things move forward. 12 are being called to align with some great needs of that hour, and we would know those men and those people to be apostles, and how beautiful. But apostles not at the expense of that large group that was also around Jesus that was being recognized and released. So we see that here Jesus was developing a strategy of calling people to himself and then calling people as sent ones, confirming that God wasn't giving up and never gives up on the human project, but will heal and restore through the human life of Jesus as the human lives of these first followers were commissioned to carry the message and work of God forward. So if you think about this illustrious bunch, two country fishermen, Peter and Andrew, two hot-headed brothers, James and John, sons of thunder, so nicknamed. Can you imagine that nickname? One scoundrel, a tax collector, a Jewish zealot, perhaps a violent opposer of Roman oppression, Simon. And those are just small bios of this interesting group of people that came together at an appointed time for some specific reasons. And as I look around this room, I see, wow, what a unique collective group of people in this room. And Jesus still calling us by name for such a time. How beautiful. These men became significant because of their calling and because of their willingness. And that still is the case today. People are being called by name and, of course, perhaps based upon their willingness to lean in, that often dictates where the journey moves. But one thing we do know is that Jesus is calling people by name still today. Exodus tells us, I will indeed do what you have asked, for I look favorably on you and I know your name. And Isaiah 43 says, I have called you by name, you are mine. And friends, receive that as personal today. How beautiful. So picture this, as Moses comes down from the Mount Sinai, 12 around, surrounded by all people of all different kinds. Verse 17 says, he went down with them and he stood on a level place. Not sure in any way really what Luke was getting at by referencing this, but he does. And certainly we could take a little bit of permission here to think that Jesus is presenting himself as a great equalizer. There's no hierarchy in the kingdom of God. That's why I like the cross being where it is, because we're standing at an equal place. No one on higher ground than the other. And here it says Jesus went down on a level place. And I think there's a good picture there of Jesus being the good equalizer. And they're standing on a large level place with people from all over, again, on equal footing with one another as well, all together with Jesus in the middle. And you need to picture this. Jesus standing on level ground in the center with all kinds of people around him. It's a beautiful picture. All equal footing, all together with Jesus in the middle, depending on him for life, for wholeness, and God's vision for human life at the center and beginning to be understood. And God does all this through Jesus who stood on level ground. Philippians chapter 2 talks about us, and we stand on level ground together, all in the same boat. In humility and reality, Jesus, the great equalizer, equal in our sin, equal in God's grace being dispersed and given. Not about what we've done, but about who we're receiving and where that receiving is taking us. It's a beautiful picture. A large crowd of disciples, verse 17 says, were there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. What a beautiful picture of gathering. Beautiful. Had come from all over and finding a place of welcome. If it had been an invitation to the temple, they would not have found an equal place of welcome. But with Jesus, you find an equal place of welcome with no preference one over the other. Just come. Just come. You're welcome. You're welcome. Come. This has present realities in Luke chapter 6, but it also has prophetic realities at the same time. Here we have a picture of the new way forward for the church. Jesus in the center and people reaching for him. That's the story of the gospel. Jesus at the center and people reaching for him, and in their reaching, finding. Jesus drawing all people into community and to himself. Faith rising as people gather and see more clearly who this person is. And what in their reaching, they are also being received. It's beautiful. Here's Jesus and people meeting him. This holy other. Someone who not only speaks with the words of God, but has the power and life of God pulsating through him. Wow, it's a beautiful picture. Perhaps here is the vision of human flourishing. Jesus at the center, reaching for him and receiving as they reach. Human flourishing. What a beautiful thing. Jesus, the new temple, the one reaching, and it certainly is in our best interest to reach and receive from him today. Human flourishing. It's a cinematic scene and a picture of what Jesus does for all who come to him. And perhaps, friends, it's also a forecast of what eternity will look like when Jesus returns. And for all eternity, the Bible describes Jesus on a throne at the center and human flourishing, reaching towards that eternal Savior. What a beautiful picture of new life, new purpose, people being healed and helped along the way. In closing, I leave that picture with you today. The picture of human flourishing. Human flourishing with Jesus at the center. Human flourishing among friendships, families, couples, flourishing, Jesus at the center. Human flourishing among communities and church organizations and local churches, flourishing because Jesus is at the center. Mankind flourishing when Jesus is at the center. So the question in closing is this: is Jesus in your center? And what would it take for him to become the center of thought and of concern, of space, of time, of emotion, of supernatural encounter? For many of you, perhaps today, as Rebecca has said at the beginning, would benefit today if Jesus moved from the peripheral into the center. I think we'd all be better if that happened. Jesus, we honor you today. We find ourselves aware of your presence. We sense this good invitation today of allowing you to draw near, but taking a place in the center. I pray that you would come into our hearts, Lord Jesus, today in a new and a fresh way. Come into the midst of all of our thinking, all of our consideration, all of our concern, the midst of all of our pain, the midst of all of our need, the midst of all of our anxiety and worry and stress, in the midst of all of our celebration, in the midst of all of our joy, in the midst of all of that which you anticipate, move into the center. I pray for that, Lord Jesus, today. I pray for the curiosity that would allow us to leave this place better than when we came because of this prophetic picture that you would leave with us today, is that you desire to move into the center. So Lord, thank you for the grace to allow that to happen. I thank you for mercy that is received today, removing you from an improper place to a proper place in the center of our lives. So dismiss us today. Lead us along. May we find good places of prayer and intercession as we've sensed you interceding for us this morning. And we know that the rest of this morning you will continue to intercede for us. And you have such good things for us. And we seek to receive all of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us this morning at Living Waters. I trust you have a good rest of your day, and perhaps we'll see you sometime this week. Blessing.